We're in Matthew chapter 4, and I wanted to walk you through the basic call of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for the verse that you shared this morning, Don, because this is how you become a disciple of Jesus. This is how you become a Christian. Don gave it to you right there. If you confess with your mouth, that means you say it out loud as a promise, Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When someone declares those words, Jesus, I will follow you. You are Lord. And they believe in their heart that he is the one who was raised from the dead. Then Jesus does that great work in us, where he does the saving work by his Holy Spirit. And then we are called the same way that his disciples were called in the Gospels to follow him. And I want to share with you the first story we read of Jesus' call on someone's life from the book of Matthew, chapter 4. And I'd like you just to hear this story. While walking, I'm in verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and later Jesus changes his name to Peter, that's why he mentions it here, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat, their father, and they followed him. That's as far as we're going to read today, but this was how Jesus called people to follow him. He just, in this story here, he just walks up to these four guys, two at a time, and says, follow me. Now, we know when we read the Gospel of John that John and Andrew had probably already met Jesus because they were followers of John the Baptist. We learn that in that Gospel. We know that when they were following John the Baptist after he had baptized Jesus, he pointed to Jesus one day and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so Andrew and John went and followed Jesus and got to know him. And as soon as they, after they had had their evening with Jesus, they realized that John the Baptist was right, that this was the Messiah, the promised king, the one that they were seeking. And so they went and found their brothers and brought them to come see Jesus. That's actually when Peter's name was changed from Simon to Peter by Jesus. So the scene we see here may not have been the first time that they met Jesus. But when he came walking by the sea, he came with an invitation to them, in fact, a command, to follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And in that moment, they obeyed the Lord. And Matthew doesn't bother us with the background because really there's this moment in each of our lives when we hear the voice of Jesus call us. We know enough. We've heard enough. We've seen enough in the lives of others, and we know it's true. But then there's that voice of Jesus. By his Holy Spirit, he does this work in us. And you can feel him calling you. And you know in that moment that you need to repent. You need to ask him to forgive you for your sins. So you do. And then you make him a promise. I will follow you. Why do we respond to him in that moment? Why does our heart feel that call to hear his voice and to respond to it? It's because in each of us, we know without any doubt, when we get really honest, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. As I have been managing my own life, I've been managing it poorly. I feel out of control. I feel without a purpose. I feel empty. And there's this answer to every longing of your heart that you hear in the voice of Jesus. And when he calls us and we come, there's joy, there's life. And this is why we follow him. As we begin our year in ministry, I want us to begin with this firmly established before us, that we have come to Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. And he's the one who's going to lead us in life this year. Can we just begin with a word of prayer before I go any further? Jesus, this is why we're here, because you are the Savior of the world. And we have experienced, those of us who have already called on you, we have already experienced at least once in our life the power of your salvation, the power of your deliverance, the healing that you bring to our lives. And so, Lord, those who have not yet called on you and those who have, we together want to dedicate our lives to you. We have heard your voice, and we will follow you. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for going wayward, and save us, Lord, from ourselves. Lead us in the path of life. We pray this in your name. Amen. It's so important that we begin our year with a reminder of who we are, called by Jesus, saved by Jesus, as we begin to follow him. We have a mission as a church, and our mission is to be a fellowship that overflows with God's grace, the grace of Jesus, and shares the love of God with Prince Rupert and our region. And so that's our mission as a church. So we have this logo here, and I want to walk you through it so you can understand what's going on with it. Our mission is tied up in this logo. You'll see this shape from history. It's called a triquetra, and it was a shape that was used to describe the reality or to describe a truth about God without drawing a picture of God, because we're not supposed to draw pictures of God. He asked us not to. He commanded us not to. So this picture was drawn as a shape to represent a truth about God, that God is the three-in-one God, that the Father is God, that the Son is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. And within the Godhead, there's fellowship, that they are all God, but they are three separate persons. So they're not the same person, but they're the same of the same substance. And there's this mystery we're left with, and we call this mystery, we have a word for it, in shorthand we just say it's the Trinity. So this picture is meant to represent the fellowship within the Trinity, the triune God. So whenever people who are familiar with this stuff see our logo, they say, ah, it's a triquetra. They believe in the Trinity. But we've colored it. Why did we color it this way? Land, water, and sea. And what I love about the shape in the middle is that it kind of looks like an island sitting in the middle of the water, right? You see the little green section, the center green section looks like an island. And we are on Cayan Island right now. So this is our way of saying that we have been planted here by God to fellowship with the three-in-one God here in Prince Rupert. And our mission is to share the love of God with our island and with our region. That's what our logo means. Isn't that fun? Okay, well, let me show you. We'll go on from here. We're going to change our logo up a little bit this year, and we're going to add something to it. We're adding a plus one. Just for the year. It's going to be a theme. I'd like I was going to say harp on, but that doesn't sound so positive. That we want to repeat over and over so we get this deep within our minds, deep within our hearts, that our mission is plus one. Now, it's not like a pyramid scheme. I don't want you to think that you're all, supposed to go out headhunting and find, your one target. The idea to the plus one is that the fellowship of God seeks fellowship with us. And so he came to us seeking us so that we, in fact, are the plus one. We can go to the first point here. When Jesus came to those disciples, he was all by himself there in that moment, the entirety of the kingdom of God. He was the king arrived on earth, and he invites these men to follow him. In that moment, there was plus one and then plus one. And in fact, when Jesus called you, he called you into fellowship with himself. You were the plus one. You were the one that he wanted to invite into fellowship with himself. One thing I like about this plus one, sorry, I meant to say this at the beginning, plus one's always fun because if you get a wedding invitation, it says, you know, you're invited to this wedding reception, and then they give you a plus one. Isn't that fun? When you get a plus one, you're like, oh, good, I can bring someone else. This will be fun, right? That's how I want you to think about this. I don't want you to be like, oh, I have to go and get one. It's like, oh, I get to bring one. That's fun, okay? That's what plus one means, okay? I want you guys to catch that. It's supposed to be enjoyable because we're having a good time. But when Jesus called you, he called you and you were his plus one. As we follow Jesus this year, I have some blanks for you. You can follow along with them. We are called to follow close to Jesus. And I'm giving you a phrase here that's going to take a little explaining. To put yourself in a place to believe. Put yourself in a place to believe. What does this mean? Well, I can explain it first in the negative. You can put yourself in a place of unbelief, and if you do that, your faith will weaken, and your relationship with Jesus will weaken if you put yourself in a place of unbelief. Where would be a place of unbelief? Guesses? Yes, Kyle. Bitterness, that would be a place of unbelief, yep. Anger, okay, we're talking kind of metaphysical here. Let's bring it down to real tangible. I'm actually talking about geographical locations. Like in the morning, this is what the choice I have, and I've told you this before. I have a Bible on my kitchen table, and I have my computer on my kitchen table, which I leave them both there at night because electronics shouldn't go to bed with you, right? So my electronics are on the kitchen table, and so is my Bible. But when I get up, I come to my table, and I have before me two paths. Alex, do you want a good day, or do you want a bad day? It's really that simple. Do you want a day of sweet fellowship with the Lord, a day of filled with life when the Lord is opening new things to you, or do you want a day that's not very productive, a day of self-indulgence and pity and blah, blah, blah. Which day do you want, Alex? And so I have to physically put myself in the chair in front of the Bible in order to grow in my belief. I have to physically take that seat rather than take this seat. I have to put myself in a place of believing. Does that make sense? You have to actually geographically do it. There's a difference in the outcomes of where I go. And so we can talk about different things like when we put ourselves in a place of sin, we cannot believe. When we put ourselves in our bed on a Sunday morning, right? You're not in a place of belief. And so when we go away from that place of belief, we find that our faith falters. And then we start to say things like, I don't feel close to the Lord. I don't feel like I can hear his voice. I don't know. And then, oh man, I remember one story. I got to tell you this. Oh, can I tell you the whole version? Yeah, I can. Okay. So a very famous pastor says, I think this was Francis Chan. I think it was. says, he had a young man come up and start to say, yeah, I'm doubting my faith. I'm not sure that the Bible's true. And he starts going on like this, and then Francis Chan just says to him, so how long have you been sleeping with your girlfriend? That was his answer, and the young man was just disarmed. But the point that Francis Chan was making was, you've been living a life of putting yourself in a place of unbelief, and that's why you're questioning your faith. It's not because it's not true. It is true. It's not because God doesn't speak to you. He does speak to you. But if you plug up your ears or you don't go to listen to him, even on your own in the morning, then you're going to doubt more and you're going to falter more. So in order for us to stay close to Jesus, to follow after him, after this past, like this passage says, like the Lord is calling us to do, then we have to take very physical steps to stay close to him. That is why we made you a verse of the day calendar. It's why we have church each week. It's why we have events as a church, like meals afterwards and food drives and things, so that we can get together more often. It's why we form friendships and mentorships here within the church. And it's also why we have that program called Freedom Session. Now, I'm going to play a video here for you in a second. But the reason that we have this is because I know that so many of us wrestle with a lot of hurts and bad habits and hang-ups from our past. And it's not just those who struggled with drugs and alcohol. Man, we've got all sorts of bad habits and hurts that we've been hiding, wounds that we've been hiding for such a long time, and they're so deep within us. And they act as these barriers. And the Lord wants to meet you in that. And if you would meet him in that place, he would heal you. I know it's true. I've experienced it myself. So I'd like you to watch this video for this program that we'll be running in October all the way to March. Go ahead and play it.
People prefer to believe what they prefer to be true. To conform to a sick society is to become sick. Freedom Session creates no new pain in your life. Writing your story with a new ending is actually what Freedom Session is all about. You won't actually be able to walk free if you're committed to continuing that behavior.
And nobody can live with that.
Does that look good? I'm telling you, it is so good. We ran it last year. It is 20 weeks, but I would say to you that you've been struggling with different areas of your life. You've been struggling with different habits, struggling with hurts for years. And I know that 20 weeks is a long time, but consider it an investment to meet the Lord in this for the next 20 weeks and then to walk in freedom after that, to walk in victory after that. And if you're wondering if this is for you, the default answer is yes, this is for you. But I'm a high-functioning individual. I'm sure you are, and I'm not disbelieving that. But I know that all who are high-functioning individuals who've gone through it have as well agreed. We all fall into the same patterns, and we all carry wounds within us. All of us need that healing from Jesus. And so we're offering this to you. It will be amazing. You can sign up online. You can also sign up in the church office. But please, on Thursdays, make this a priority. Put yourself in a place of belief. The second thing that we learn from this passage is that we're commanded by Jesus to fish for people, to go fishing for people. And this is a fun analogy. If you push it too far, it starts to sound really dark because it's like we're not going to eat them. We're not going to bash them over the head. That's nothing like that. That's not where the analogy is supposed to go. It's really not that difficult to understand. You need to imagine what happens once they get in the boat to have the fish go poof. Now it's a person and they're fishing too, okay? So nothing bad happens to the fish. It's only good. Yeah, that's only good. And so as I was looking at our logo, I found a couple new things in our logo this year. And fishermen, can you see it? First off, the ark is like you got one on the line, right? Nice. It's the ark of the rod. And then I found a fish in our logo. So there you go. We were called to be fishers of men. We are called to fish for people, fish for our friends. And we do this by doing what Jesus did. I don't know if you've figured this out, but I am giving you the blanks as we go. They're on the screen from your bulletin. If this matters to some of you? Does this matter to any of you filling out blanks? Because some of you are like, yes, it's got to be filled out. Good, okay. We have to do what Jesus did. How did Jesus fish for these disciples? What did he say? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We can fish the same way that Jesus did. And that's to say to someone, follow me. Because I'm following Jesus. Be an imitator of me as I am of Christ. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. Be an imitator of me as I am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. If you see me doing anything that looks like Jesus, then yeah, imitate that. If you see me do anything that doesn't look like Jesus, don't do that. Okay, don't do that part. But follow me as I follow Jesus. And so we can say this to our friends as well. We can just go out trolling for our friends in the best possible way. You know, and you are the lure as well. Jesus in you is the lure. So when you're reading your Bibles and you come across a verse that you like, how many of you do bullet journaling or anything like that? Do we have any Bujo fans here? Yes? All right, we got one. You got daytimers? Who's got paper daytimers? Who's in the paper world still? I'm back in the paper world, so much better. Okay, who's using electronic calendars? Okay, I would encourage you, if as you read the Bible, you find a verse that really stands out to you, to actually text it to yourself, like type it out, text it to yourself, because there's something wonderful about writing it out again. Write it into your day timer, write it into your bullet journal, put it somewhere where you're going to find it again in the day so that it's with you. And then how do you live plus one? How do you fish using that? If the Lord has really ministered that verse to you, and the God has really made that verse come alive to you, then maybe during the day, not only has God changed you through that verse, but God may give you a chance to share that verse with someone else. That's living out that verse with a plus one mindset. That's living it out with a plus one. Are you going to church? Invite someone along. And I see some of you have done that today, and it makes my heart very, very happy to see that. You just say, I'm going to church, come along. Are you going to Freedom Session? You can hand out flyers to your friends and invite them along. Will you be helping us with the food drive? That's the easiest one in the world to help get your friend to come along on, is to just say, hey, would you like to help me on this food drive? We're going to hand out bags and then gather up the food on Saturday. It's living plus one. It's doing exactly what Jesus did. And that is saying, come and see, follow me and see if you want to follow Jesus too. It's literally the fairest way you can invite your friend to come and see Jesus. There's no trickery in it. There's no bait and switch. You're saying, this is who I am. I'm following Jesus. And this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. If you're curious at all, just follow me as I follow Jesus and come and see for yourself. That's it. That's all you're asking for. There's no dishonesty in it. In fact, you're probably being more dishonest with your friends than what I'm describing. If you have not been telling your friends about Jesus and you hide these verses off to yourself and you think that they don't ever want to see the Bible or ever hear a verse out of your mouth, if you think that they don't want to ever come and see what your church is about so you never talk about it, you're probably wrong, because they're your friends. They care about you. So when we would have exchange students come to our house, we would tell them right up front, we're not going to make you go to church, but we're going to insist that you come to church with us the first Sunday you're with us, just so you can see what's a big part of our life. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to insist you come to church with us as well. That's it. Just because you're part of our family, and we just want to share that with you. Well, we found our students were always happy to do that. And in fact, when they came and saw the church community, when they heard Jesus proclaimed, we never had a student that didn't want to come with us to church every single week. They weren't offended by it. We were just simply sharing honestly what we're about. And that's what plus one means. Just share honestly what our church, what Jesus is about, and what he means to you. This Rescue Cambodia is another great opportunity that you have to simply plus one. You are invited to this Rescue Cambodia dance night. These are AIDS orphans. This ministry cares for 450 some odd people who have been afflicted, who are either orphans because of AIDS or currently suffering with AIDS. And this was just sprung up out of people responding to a need. We're going to hear the stories of how these lives were saved. We're going to We're going to hear the story of the actual founder, the senior lady who founded this. She's actually a friend in a way of Ethel Morehouse's. As Ethel started her hospital, this gal was starting an orphanage in Cambodia. And we get to hear that story. That's a good story. You have an invitation with a plus one on that. Bring your friends along. I also want to let you know that our next series in church is going to be called You Have Heard It Said. And we're going to be taking on all the big philosophies and ideas and movements that seem to be trending in a very influential way among us. And we're going to be engaging in that conversation like Jesus. So we're going to talk about stuff like truth, and we're going to talk about things like Me Too. We're going to talk about all these things that are big and have a major impact. But how would Jesus talk to us about this? How would Jesus engage in that conversation? I think your friends are going to find that very interesting, and they would be open to give their feedback and suggestions. The next thing we see in this verse about following Jesus is that we're called to follow Jesus in pairs. Two by two. You notice that he calls one brother together with another brother. Happens twice. In fact, in all three Gospels, we see this pattern of two by two. It's a regular pattern throughout the Gospels and the book of Acts. There are a few exceptions, but there's a lot of wisdom in it. When we travel together, we train each other and we multiply. When we travel together and we do the work together, there's that witness of two. And Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there am I with them. We had this wonderful time of prayer at someone's bedside. And I remember as we were praying over this person who needed healing, there was another Christian there with me. And my heart just rejoiced in that because we were about to petition the Lord. And we needed, and when we have that agreement, when someone was doing the ministry with me and we had that agreement, there was authority in that. There was a witness in that. We felt the Lord's presence in a way that we would not otherwise. And we saw a fantastic healing in that person's life. And I'll share that story with you another time because we're short on time. Let's keep going. It also gives us support and accountability. So how do we live out our lives in this two by two, this plus one mentality when it comes to brothers and sisters in the Lord? This is something I'm feeling really challenged on in myself. To carry out. When I do visitation, far too often I've done visitation alone. This year I'm going to be trying to invite someone along with me anytime I do visitation. I was given an amazing story of this this week as I was talking with Dana Mastry, and she's going to take a microphone now and explain it all to you. No? No? I'm being bad. She would die. Dana, this summer, began feeding the hungry, the homeless on Saturdays because there was no program. And so Dana didn't do it alone. And she ended up being not just helped, but she ended up with partners, Jan and Rory and Tanya and Rowena and Maggie and Karen. Did I miss anyone? That sounds like the list? Pardon me? I think, okay. But these were women who all came alongside of her, either financially or through actually making sandwiches or actually handing out the sandwiches, together took on that ministry. You know what? When you see something, it can be so easy to just go and do it. But the Lord calls us to walk this road plus one. Take someone along. Dana did that this summer. And because of that, she shared the joy of feeding the hungry, feeding the homeless, together with five or six other people. I think that's fantastic. It's a great example. Yes, you can. Do you see how that works? That's exactly what we're talking about, plus one. Just share the ministry, and we will find other people trained up and multiplying. And honestly, we're not territorial. If it's someone from another church, or if it's someone who's not even a Christian yet, Bring them along. Exactly. That's plus one. Whether you're teaching Sunday school, you're mentoring someone, or seeking a mentor, even when you eat your meals, don't eat them alone. Bring someone along and eat with other people. Finally, the last thing we see in this passage is that we're called to make fishing for people our top priority. We come to Jesus, we follow Jesus, and then we fish for people. It's our top priority. Why is it our top priority? Because it was Jesus' top priority. This is not a multi-level marketing scheme again. This is, I want you to hear the heart of Jesus in this. People are lost without him. People need to be saved. If people didn't need to be saved, the Lord Jesus would not have come and laid down his life for us. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That was his heart, to give his life as a ransom for many. And you were on his heart when he came. And so were your friends. So was your family. He laid down his life so that we could live. He made us his top priority. And so that same love of Jesus compels us in our love for him to be loving others as well and sharing the good news of him with others as well. Let's go to God in prayer with this right now. Jesus, this is where I wanted to end. I wanted to just be reflecting on your call in our lives and the great cost that it came with, the great victory and promise that you gave to us, that you won for us. Lord, this life that we can walk in because of what you have done. You saw us all on that broad road that leads to destruction, just living by default. But you have called us, you have opened up for us the pathway of life. And so, Lord, we have walked through that today. We have been walking in on that path with you, and our hearts are grateful. Lord, thank you also for giving us a chance to share in this work with you, to be a fisher of men, to go fishing for our friends, to reach out to them, to be both the lure and the one that you use to draw them into yourself. Lord, we pray that you would be Lord of our life. As we follow you, Lord, may they see your glory. May they see something beautiful in us that doesn't come from us, like our ballerina dancing box, but something that is only of you. Lord, we pray this so that our friends would know you and know this life, that we might see with our own eyes the wonders of your healing power as well. And all of this for your glory. It's in your name we pray this. Amen.